Father, this morning we come to you, Lord. We come to you because you sent your Son to bring us all back to you. We just want to thank you, Father. We just want to thank you. Today I pray, everyone seated here, everyone hearing my voice online today in the days to come, everyone knows you or will know you as their own Father. Because there is nothing more important in life. Nothing more, Lord. This morning, give us hearing ears. Your last words in your scripture over and over is, all those who have ears, let them hear what the Spirit says. Give us hearing ears. Touch, Lord. Touch everyone. These are not easy times. We live in difficult times. So give us hearing ears, because we need to hear from you, each one in their own respective situations, their trials, their testings. Each one needs to hear from you, because you alone have the words of life. You alone have the answer. So speak to us even this morning, Father. Constantly prepare us for that day, the coming of your Son. For in Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen, amen. Yes, Sammy, Sam probably has got his earphones. Sammy, you need to raise the vent, it's right on my face, okay? Are all here? I'm not talking about your bodies. Today we shut the doors and the windows. But the question is, have you shut the world out? Have you shut the world out? If you don't shut the world out, you will not understand the kingdom. They are contrary to each other. So by an act of faith, shut the world with all its troubles out. And let's learn about the most important topic in the Bible, the New Covenant. It's about the kingdom. Remember, we are on Matthew 6 and verse 33. Pastor Vijay, you shall share in my cup. Seek ye second. Seek ye. Now how come so many of you are late for worship? Simple question. No condemnation. Just a rhetorical question. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And Sunday is called the Lord's Day. It's His day. Every day is His day. But today especially is His day. The Lord's Day. And should be the high point of the week for all of us. May we come together as a community, His children, His people. And we come and first and foremost we just worship Him. We praise Him. We thank Him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And He shall add everything. All that you need. The king, the kingdom, and His righteousness. So once again, we will keep our focus on what Jesus kept His focus on. If you are following the book of Revelation, the studies, in Revelation 10 and verse 7, Revelation. That was to wake up all who accidentally fell asleep. In Revelation 10:7, it's a series of sevens in the book of Revelation. It's full of sevens. Okay. First you have the seven seals. Then you have the seven trumpets. And then the seventh trumpet is blown. When the seventh trumpet is blown, we finally have the seven final judgments of God. So there it is written. Remember, it's not written the day, it's written a period of time, the days. In the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he's about to sound, the mystery of God would be finished as he declared to his prophets. Okay, the mystery of God will be finished. It's a mystery of God. When you come to Revelation, the middle of the book of Revelation, it's got 22 chapters, chapter 11 and verse 15, we understand what this mystery is. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. The mystery is complete. God had declared it to his prophets. Declare it to his prophets. Okay. And the first prophet in the Bible, is Enoch. First prophet in the Bible is Enoch. And his prophecy is recorded in the book of Jude, where it declares the Lord shall come with tens and thousands of his saints. Okay. So the mystery was declared by the first prophet onwards. The mystery is about the kingdom of God. And this mystery will be completed during the days of the blowing of the seventh trumpet. What is it? The invisible will become visible. From 11 onwards all the way to 19, it's a continuum. Okay, it's not in a chronological order, we are not studying the book of Revelation. I'm just giving you so that we understand how huge, how big, how life-defining this topic is. From there, by the time you come to chapter 19, you see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords comes. And he's going to establish his kingdom on earth. And there is a massacre on earth. Okay? And he establishes his kingdom on earth in chapter 19. Satan is locked up for 1,000 years. And Christ rules the earth with his saints for 1,000 years. And this world will look then the way it should have looked if Adam had not sinned. The restoration process. Remember, by the time the seventh angel sounds, half the population of the world is dead. Like by today's number, 4 billion are gone over the judgments that is rolling out. Okay? It's a scary and also uplifting book. The book of Revelation, the only book to whom a specific promise is given. Blessed are those who hear, read, and keep the words of this prophecy. Okay? Because the kingdom, it's a huge thing. In Mark chapter 4 and verse 11, he said to them, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. He's telling the disciples, to you, he says, has been given the privilege. It's an honor to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. And when is this mystery going to be revealed? During the day. That is when that invisible realm of God will become visible. So today, we live in that invisible realm, though we are in the physical realm. We live in two realms, the physical, yet we are called to live in that invisible realm. That's why we are called to live by faith. It is by faith we live in the kingdom of God. Faith is not about getting things. They have changed the entire teaching of faith and made it into a different gospel altogether. The reason we are called to live by faith is that when you and I choose to live by faith, we are in this physical realm, this world, but we are living in the kingdom of God. So there it is. By the time you come to Revelation 20, the end of it, judgment is over. Revelation 21, eternity begins. Eternity begins. 21, 22 are the most beautiful chapters in the entire Bible. Should keep reading it. Everything is new. So here it is the mystery of the kingdom. The kingdoms, like I said, when Jesus is speaking, he's teaching. It's so easily understandable for all the people there because everybody is living in a kingdom. When Jesus is walking on earth, there are only kingdoms. Democracy, which started in Greece, then went on to Rome, all have fallen and all are kingdoms now. There are no democracies. So for them to understand kingdom is very easy. It's not difficult. If you listened a couple of weeks back, Q&A, you should listen to the Q&A because you have to hear, you have to see where the questions are coming from. From Latin America to Central Asia to everywhere questions are coming. Till this morning questions are coming. They keep on piling up questions. You have to understand. And I get scared because these are senior pastors writing, 80 years old and all. And they have been ministering for years and years in underground churches and they are writing, asking questions. Okay. You need to understand something about kingdoms. If you have noticed, if you understand, democracies don't fight each other. They don't fight each other. Democracies want to live in peace. Kingdoms fight. At a time when kings go to war, it is written. Because kingdoms always want to expand. The king always want to extend his territory. Kingdoms expand. In the last days, the Bible talks about 10 kings rising. 10 kings rising. Okay, we don't know who these kings are. Now, if you ask this question, why did Russia invade Ukraine? Because Russia is going back to its past. It was a kingdom, their imperial past. Ukraine was part of that kingdom. Why is China hostile to all its neighbors? Because they are going back to their imperial past. China was an empire. What was the consecration about that temple last month in Ayodhya? We are going back to our mythological past, to our kingdom. Right before our eyes, kingdoms are rising. Don't get caught like sitting ducks because prophecy is being fulfilled right before our eyes. It may take a little time. That's why elections are important. We have no voice in these elections. We are such a small minority. Our voice doesn't count. But if you understand kingdom, it's not your votes that count. It's your prayer. Because the destinies of nations have been changed by men and women who entered into their closet, stood before God with their hands upraised. Moses changed the destinies of nations. Samuel changed the destiny of his nation. Elijah changed the destiny of his nation. A young teenage girl called Esther changed the destiny of her people just by prayer. So you may think, what's the point? My vote, how does it count? Your vote doesn't count. But your prayer does. Prayer does. Because we are facing the most consequential election of our time. And they're very open about it. 400 is our target. Why do you want 400? To change the constitution. Simple. To change the constitution. We want that majority. They're very clear. Very clear. But we do not know what the will of God is. And ultimately, it is the job of the church to stand in the gap and the will of God prevails. Like I said about prayer, it is not that God cannot.
God will not. Will not. Because earth was given to man. So he says, if you will not pray, I will not act. And if you want me to act without you praying, you wouldn't want me to act. Because every time I act without you praying, it's judgment. Wouldn't want me to act. When the time comes, I will act. And I don't need anybody to pray. I will act. But that is judgment. Okay. When you have reached that tipping point, and God says, that's it. Now I will move. It is not that God has given up his rights, no. But he said, we need to pray. That's why we are looking at the kingdom. That's why we are looking at prayer. So if you look at it, God has never ever changed his purpose. If you look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 9. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. God has purposed everything. He knows what he is doing. Everything. And God has never changed his purpose. Never changed his purpose. That is why we can trust God. One reason we can trust God absolutely is because he never changes. He never changes. So remember, if you want to understand everything about us humans, the humans, you have to go to Genesis 1:26 when God speaks first about man. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion. Okay. Over everything that is on the earth. Did you see that? And God has never changed. Never changed. He has never changed. You go to Revelation chapter 22. And verse 5. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp, nor the light of the sun. For the Lord gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Purpose still remains the same. That's why you should use your imagination for the right things. You have to see this world. 2/3 covered by water. New earth, there is no water. There's no sea. So can you believe how huge this earth is? Hovering above the earth, the new city. This I saw Revelation 21, where it says, I saw a new heaven, a new earth, and a new city. This city comes down to earth. It kind of like hovers a little above the earth. Remember, all of you have different bodies. You can go up and down as you wish. You're no longer walking. Your body is changed. It is different. And there is this city. And the city, by the city's light, the whole earth is flooded. There's no need for sun. There's no need for moon. There is no day and night. It will be a continuum. You will never want to sleep. You will never grow tired. You will never be sick. Okay. And what was God's whole idea from the beginning? Man would rule the earth. Revelation 21 will say, the kings of this earth will bring their glory to this city. The kings of this earth will bring their glory to this city. So God has never changed. What he told Adam and Eve, he says, I'm making you in my image and in my likeness, and you shall have this. You shall have this. So this is not a fairy tale. This is a real tale. This is a real, real story. Real, real story. So when Jesus ascends up that mountain and gives his greatest sermon called the Sermon on the Mount, he will say, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then a few lines later he said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. So come back from the temporal to the eternal kingdom of God. Be focused. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25 and 26, this is what that great man says. Everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things, for they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. He says, I'm not living life without an aim. He says, my purpose is very clear. I am running for an eternal purpose. You see, so many young people are living aimless lives. Because if you need to have aim in your life, you need to have some purpose. Some purpose. You need purpose. We were created that. Because God created us in His image and His likeness. And God is a God of purpose. Yesterday also in the Q&A, in the evening session, I was saying, and you can do the same. You can take a look around this room. Take a look at anything. Anything. There's not a single thing in this room which has not been made or designed without purpose. Take a look at yourself. There's not a single thing in your body which has not been created, designed without purpose, because God is a God of purpose. And people need purpose. There are temporal purposes. There is an eternal purpose. God is calling us to something that is the greatest, which is eternal. Eternal. I always see with this young teenagers, early 20s, aimless, just drifting like this cock in the water. And then suddenly they meet this girl. He meets this girl, falls in love. And the girl says, I will marry you. Suddenly purpose comes. Now he is taking early morning classes, late night classes, working two shifts because a purpose came. The aimless fellow got an aim. See, aim is important. A purpose is important. But there are two kinds of purpose. One under heaven, which all has a temporal end. And I will tell you what happens with temporal. So this guy, let us say whoever it is, this guy, Jack Smith, okay? This guy, oh, that's the prosecutor, right? He's got an aim, but his aim won't work, okay? So Jack Smith, what is he doing? He's working two shifts and this thing, and finally he gets his job, makes his money, he gets married. Now the problem is, he got married. Why did he do all this to get married? And a lot of people, when they achieve this purpose in getting married, lose interest in their marriage because a purpose is already achieved. After that, they again become aimless. This is the problem with temporal purpose. You wanted a job. You got a job. You wanted to excel in your job. You excel. Then you retire. What do? But the kingdom of God is eternal. And this is a smart man. He says, you know what? People who have a temporal purpose, very clear, they are very temperate. They're very, very, very disciplined. Because they are running after something that is temporal. But he says, the kingdom of God, people in the God's kingdom are so aimless when God is offering us something that is eternal. Imperishable. So he says, I'm not running aimlessly. I'm not just beating him. He's using a boxing illustration. He says, I'm running with purpose. And he will finish his race that way. In 2 Timothy, his final letter, this is how he concludes. 7 and 8. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And then he says in verse 8, now what am I getting? I'm getting the crown of righteousness. So he says, finally there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. He says, that's what I was running for. To reign. To reign. That was what I was running for. For how long? Forever and ever. That's what I was running for. I had a very eternal perspective when I was running and that. And it is not only me whom the Lord will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Because if you know, like if you know your exam is appearing, then you will prepare for it. So if your mind is focused on, the Lord has promised, I am coming back. Behold, I am coming back quickly, and my rewards are with me, is one of his final words in the book of Revelation. So if that is your motivation, he says, you will run that way. You will not let the temporal pull you down. You will not let the temporal weigh you down or distract you. You will be always running with a purpose that is the kingdom of God. The mystery of God will be complete when suddenly the kingdom of God appears. And then judgment begins. The Bible talks in Revelation 20, all of the overcomers are sitting on thrones. And they will judge along with him, reign with him. So the promise that was given in Genesis 1:26 will be fulfilled. Because God never changes. He never changes. So connected with the kingdom. Because everything, perspective matters. Everything, perspective matters. How you read your Bible, understand your Bible will depend on perspective. So Jesus said, this should be a perspective. Seek the king, to know the king, the kingdom, and have a right relationship with him. Seek his righteousness. Don't run after what the pagans run after. Don't run after it. If you run after, your time will go. You will finish your life and then wake up and realize I wasted. Because I ran after the temporal, which were to be added. So he said, be careful because of time. We don't have all the time. So when we're looking at concepts in the Bible, we have to look it from the kingdom perspective. And one of the most important teachings for everything in the kingdom, there is a doctrine, a teaching. How does this work? And one of the most important facets of Jesus' own life and in the kingdom life is prayer. Remember, that's what we were looking at. So in Luke chapter 11 verse 1, his disciples come to him. He was praying. They never joined him. They watched him. And then they come to him and says, it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, when he sees that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. So we need to realize in the kingdom, everything has to be taught. Don't assume we know these things. We have to be taught. Teach us to pray. Now if you know, you have heard it over and over again, Jesus did so many incredible things. They never asked him to teach him that. Teach us how to still the storm. They didn't say. Teach us how to walk on water. They didn't say. The only thing they asked him to teach is teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. And in Matthew 6, Jesus will start teaching them on prayer. Remember, when he's taught prayer, the first thing, I'm just recapping because it is so important. Remember when we began years and years and years and ago, when we first began the church, I had given you a pamphlet which I had written. I gave it to you again last year. How not to give. About giving. How not to give. And what kind of giving alone blesses, the other is a waste. In the same way, Jesus first will come and tell us how not to pray. He says, don't pray like a hypocrite. Don't pray like that. Don't pray for people to hear you. Because you will get your reward. They will say sabash. That's all. Heaven won't hear you. Don't pray like a hypocrite. Second, he says, don't pray like pagans. Don't pray like pagans. In the prayer of the pagans, there are so many things. There is repetition. There is repetition. And this repetition is basically also in trying to control the spiritual environment. It's a form or it is witchcraft. He says, don't pray like that. Don't pray like that. Don't pray like that. He says, prayer is not magic. It's not witchcraft. And if you notice, it has become part of Christianity. Today is Sunday. All around the world, millions of churches, somewhere during the service, beginning, middle, or end, everybody will recite the Lord's Prayer. You think it's a mantra? It's not. What did Jesus say? He was just giving us a format. This is the manner in which he was just giving a format. You know how fast we become pagans? It is good to pray that prayer over and over in terms of meditation. Meaning you start going deeper and deeper into it to understand what it means. So Jesus was telling us how not to pray. Don't pray like this. Remember last Saturday, pastor's conference, and we looked how not to pray. First he tells us how not to pray. Don't pray like this. Don't pray like this. Don't pray like this. Because if you pray like this, you will not receive. The reason people do not pray, Christians do not pray, they don't really have a prayer life, is two reasons. One, they're not involved in the kingdom. They're not involved in the kingdom. Second, they pray and they get no answers. So, after some time they give up. It's not that they don't pray, but they pray like the pagans. Okay. But prayer is the most powerful. In Jesus' own life, if you look at it, that defined who he was. Everything that happened in his life was because of prayer. When Christ is giving us the format, I want to use the word the format. He says, in this manner, therefore pray. This is the manner in which you pray. When they ask him, teach us to pray, and when he says, this is the manner in which you pray, we should stop and listen. Why? Because Jesus was simply the most successful praying person ever. Every prayer of his was answered. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, not my will, but your will be done. So prayer was answered. There was not a single prayer of his that was never unanswered. Never. And if you look at the prayers of his which was answered, they are mind-boggling. Mind-boggling. Therefore, when he says, this is the manner in which you pray, you need to understand this is the template he himself followed. Okay. This is the template he followed. So you look at it and says, hey, this is great. Because whenever you are trying to imitate somebody in any field, you look for somebody who succeeded, not somebody who failed. Right? Any field. So if you want to imitate in prayer, this is the most successful person. Okay. So by the time in the book of Acts, the new church begins and you have an apostolic leadership, you will see there they have changed their mindset completely. They will say, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word of God. Changed because they understood the power of what happens. Okay? So behind everything, please remember, anything, there is a doctrine. Okay. So before we get into this prayer, first we need to understand the power of prayer. We need to believe in the power of prayer. This is how it works. Every prayer should be based on the will of God. Every prayer should be based on the will of God. If your prayer is based on the will of God, what happens? 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything, according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we have asked of him. Okay? The will of God. Second, that prayer must be offered in faith. Mark 11, verse 24. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask, according to the will of God, when you pray, what must that? Believe. Believe that you receive them and you will have them. So you have to believe. You have to believe. Why is it so important? James chapter 1, 6 to 8. Let him ask in faith without, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Why? He's a double-minded man. Unstable in all his ways. Double-minded. And says, you cannot receive. You're split. You're in the world. One foot is in the world. One foot is in the kingdom. The classic case of the only person in the Bible is always Lot. And you will never see Lot praying. The only time he will pray is when he is asked to go to the mountains during the time of destruction. He says, please, Lord, I'm too tired. Let me go to this little town. Doesn't pray. That's a double-minded person. He's the one when he's given a choice, is able to look at Sodom and see both Egypt and Eden there. Okay. So the whole purpose of the teaching of the word is so that we will become single-minded. One mind. One mind. Not two minds. Our problem is not that we go into the world. We cannot escape it. We go into the world. But our problem is that when we go into the world, we start thinking like the world. And God says, I cannot answer your prayers. You're double-minded. So one of the purposes of prayer itself is to make us single-minded. If you have doubt, James will say that the same thing again in James chapter 4. He says, come, weep, come to me. You double-minded. Double-minded. Okay. So we need to ask ourselves this thing, okay? First thing is the will of God. Second thing, am I single-minded? Am I single-minded? Because the thing is that you cannot go through life without praying. Without praying, you will be destroyed. Prayer is not an option. Jesus said, when you pray, not if you pray. When you pray, not if you pray. The third thing is, first is the will of God. Second, you are single-minded. You understand the will and the purpose of God. You are not interested about the world. You are interested about the kingdom of God and fulfilling God's purpose in your life. You're single-minded. And the third thing is that you have a right relationship with God. Right relationship with God. If you listen from the beginning of the service, all the songs we sang down to prayer when Brother John was praying, he used that scripture when he prayed. James chapter 5, verse 16 and 18. Confess your trespasses to one another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. Did he use that? Did he listen? He used that scripture. Which is, what is the scripture that he used? James 5, 16. Why? The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man who has a right relationship with God avails much. So in getting your prayer answered, there are three things. One is the will of God. Second is be double-minded. Single-minded. Don't be double-minded. Third is have a right relationship with God. Availeth much. And when this man is brought over, what is he praying? The Bible says Elijah was a man just like us. But he prayed earnestly it would not rain. It did not rain on the land for 3 years, 6 months. He prayed again. Heaven gave rain and the earth produced its fruit. So three things God is telling us. Get these simple things in, he says. You know what? The will of God. Meditate upon the word until you're thinking. That's why the first word when the gospel is preached by Jesus or John is repent. Our problem with repent is that we have connected repentance solely to sin. We have connected repentance solely to sin. No. That is one small part of repentance. Repentance means change your thinking. Change the way you think. And it is not easy for you because you are highly educated. That means you have been, your thinking has been framed by the educational system of the ruler of this world. The educational system we are all following was not patterned by God. Was patterned by the kingdoms of this world. So to change your thinking is not easy. Why is it that the more people are educated, the more atheistic they become? Why is it? The less people are educated and they go listen to the word of God, the more they believe. Why? Because the education you have received is contrary to the kingdom of God. Which is true. You look in any country, look at the statistics that come out. The more people are educated, the less they believe in God. So education was tuned to make you not believe in God. I'm not saying that you shouldn't be educated, but you should be first educated in God. Like Daniel. So understand that. It's not easy. It is not easy. It has to be a conscious decision like Daniel in the academy of the Babylonians. Before he will start his first day, he purposed in his heart. After that, the education didn't matter. It didn't matter. 3 years of indoctrination, he came out the way he was, a pure kosher Hebrew. It wouldn't touch his soul. Touch his soul. And our issue is that we haven't purposed ourselves yet. And we are double-minded. And we will struggle. So today, every day is a new day. God gives us this day. Make a decision. Make a decision. These are decisions only you can make. Nobody can make it for you. I can make it only for myself. And I made that decision years and years ago. This decision about this world was the first decision I made. Not interested, sorry. No interest. Okay. And as a proof of my decision, I did two things. Two things that get into your mind. One is books, the other is music. And I took, unlike you, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of books. Dumped them away. Took it away. I'm not going to read them again. And replaced it. Second was music. Those were cassettes. Pull them out. 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 Put it into the garbage bin. Change the music. Okay. Because these both are words that shape your thinking. What you read. What you hear. You have to make your decision. Otherwise you'll be double-minded. You'll be double-minded. You have to make these decisions. So you look at people. So the will of God, faith, and constantly trying to have daily a right standing with God. Some prayers he may answer immediately. Because in his time, it may be your now. Some prayers may take time for us, not for God. I was doing calculation last night or yesterday morning. It says 1,000 years is like a day for the Lord. And it says Isaac prayed 20 years for his wife to get pregnant. In God's timing, it was 28 minutes and 80 seconds. If your prayer is answered in 30 minutes, are you upset? God's timing was only 28 hours and 80 seconds. And prayer was answered. Okay. The question is, can you wait? Can you? That's why God talks about patience. Patience. Okay. Patient. You either be patient or you will be a patient. So when we go back, God has given us a format. What is the format? In this manner, therefore, pray. Okay? Pray. We looked at the term Father. We looked it as the head. We looked it as the source. Please understand what happened to Christianity and the mess you are seeing today. It was in the 19th century in the seminaries, which became cemeteries, where people go to become pastors, seminaries, they go to this thing. They added a new subject called comparative religion. A new subject was added into the curriculum called comparative religion. When Jesus mentored his disciples, he did not put comparative religion. He only taught about one, the kingdom of God. No religion. It's a kingdom. It's a government. They put comparative religion. And so what happened? The students and profs started learning about all religions. Finally, they came to this conclusion called the mountain. There are many ways they tried to find the commonality in all faiths. So all ways lead to the top of the mountain. Some ways may be short, others may be a little winded, and you do not know how it has infested Christianity. So they came with this concept about the fatherhood of God. Sorry. It's not there in the Bible. God is everyone's creator. God is not everyone's father. One, he's exclusive when it comes to Jesus. He is the father of Jesus. It's different from us. Because I do not know how it happened, but I do believe that when Jesus, in the Trinity, when they were always spirit beings, when they decided about the creation of man, the fall of man, the redemption of man, all was planned out. And when Jesus comes as a human being, the Bible says, today I have begotten you. So Jesus is different from us. He is the only begotten of the Lord. In time. The only begotten of God. Was always there, but in time he stepped in, the only begotten of God. And through his redemptive work, we are adopted into the family of God. To become God, to become our Father, we have to receive Jesus. As many as he received him, he gave them the power to become the sons and the daughters of God. Sorry. God is not everybody's father. He is not. He's not. God is the father only of those who are born again by his spirit. The proof of it is the spirit is there in you. So they brought all these issues, and that is where the confusion has come in. So when Jesus is talking, it is a stunning thing for the people who are hearing, because though the concept is there hidden in the old covenant, no Hebrew would dare to pray this way. No Hebrew. They have searched transcripts, manuscripts of all the Jews, and they could only find in the 10th century. 10th century of a rabbi using the term father for God. They couldn't find anywhere. They wouldn't dare. And they had an issue with Jesus because he talked about God being his father. So he's introducing to us something very, very special. He says, you know what? God is your father. God is your father. So it is a term of intimacy. Relationship, intimacy. It's a huge term. It's a huge, huge. It's not a small word. It's a huge word. The Father. Abba. Father. And that's why the Father gets hit by everybody. In the modern world. What you have political, social, media, what is the breakdown of manhood and fatherhood? Okay. And the problem is, you do not know everything that you do affects the picture of that person. Who is he? His father. His father. And Jesus said, which was earlier he always used to say, my. Now he's saying, it's yours too. He's your father too. This is the way you need to pray. It's about intimacy. It's about relationship. First thing about prayer is relationship. That's why he said, don't pray like this, don't pray like this, don't pray like this. But when you pray, this is how you should pray. What is that? Get into your secret closet and shut the door. When you shut the door, it says the conversation changes. You'll always realize if you look in any relationships anybody has over here. One, you are close to the people you talk to. The more you talk, the more closer you get. Second, you are closer to the people to whom you share your heart. That's how it works. And here God says, come inside, shut your door, let's talk. Let's talk. Let's talk. Because that's what prayer does. It builds intimacy with God. Elijah was a man just like us. But he had a relationship with God unlike us. Unlike us. In Deuteronomy 32, 6 and all, the old covenant, if you search, you will find. Do you thus deal with the Lord, O foolish and unwise people? Is he not your father who bought you? Is he not your father? God is telling the Israel. Is he not your father? Or Psalm 103, verse 13. As a father pities his children, so the Lord. But still no Jew would dare to call him father. Did you read that biography of the Pakistani Muslim sister called Bilkis Sheikh? The title of the book is that when she found Christ, I dare to call him father. I dare to call him father. You read it. What a liberating thing. Dare to call him father. Our Father who art in heaven. How do I go? Only through Jesus. Only through Jesus. There's no other way. This is where we again stop. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the. He said, I have come to take you to the Father. Unless I told you there are three important words in salvation. First is redemption. Second is reconciliation. Third is restoration. He redeemed us by his own blood. He's reconciling us back to the Father. Back to the Father. And the Father will restore all things. This is continuously going. This is what the prayer closet should do to us. Constant. The ministry of the word and the ministry of prayer should constantly do these two things until our soul has been completely redeemed. No part of my soul belongs to the world or to the devil. It has been completely redeemed and I have reached the end of my salvation. I belong to God, my Father, and my Father alone. And I'm reconciled to the uttermost with my Father. There is no misunderstanding between the two of us. And then God can restore. So we can only go through Jesus to the Father. Understand? Why? Why can we go to Father through Jesus? Because Jesus understands us. Hebrews chapter 4. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. He sympathizes. Whatever you are struggling with, he struggled with it. He didn't give in to the struggle. He overcame. But he knows our struggles. There's nothing anybody is going through he doesn't know. experientially, he knows it. He knows what it is. So he sympathizes with us. So God says, we go to God through Jesus. Why? This has got to do with prayer. And verse 16 is the key. Let us therefore come boldly. You don't have to be afraid. Come boldly. Come, he says, come. The call from heaven is come. Why don't you get in the prayer closet? Why don't you come to me? Come boldly. Jesus says, go to your Father. What is there? What is there is a throne of condemnation. Throne of judgment? No, throne of grace. That's where he is. And what do you receive that we may obtain? What do we receive? We receive mercy and we receive grace to help. And if you understand the kingdom of God, every day of your life, till the day you die, you need only these two things. Grace, mercy and grace. Mercy for my sin, grace for my success. Nothing else. You don't need anything else. I need mercy for my failures. I need grace to succeed. And God says, why don't you come? Nothing's stopping you. Who is stopping you? Nobody is stopping you. The question is, why don't we go? So understand the doctrine is important. The doctrine of Father. The doctrine of heaven. You won't look at all these things, okay? And he says, remember our, don't be a selfish person. God hates selfish people. He hates selfish people. He dislikes selfish people. Me, mine, myself. He says, don't come with your needs first. Think you are a community of people. And there is always, if you look around, somebody who is worse situation than you. Don't sit there and say, nobody's problem is like my problem. Mankind has been going through for 6,000 years. So he says, don't come with mine. Remember, we are a community. We are a family. We are a kingdom people. And the thing is that we don't listen. Therefore, we don't hear. Listening is an exercise. We don't listen. Therefore, we don't hear. We don't look. Therefore, we don't see. In that prison in Egypt, where Joseph was incarcerated, I believe for 10 years. I think he served 44, my calculation is 3 years, and he was in prison for 10 years. He was incarcerated in a dungeon, kind of terrible chains all over. Okay, that's how he was for 10 years. And he is the only innocent person in the prison who has done nothing wrong. And the Bible says, two prisoners from the king came, handed over to Potiphar. Potiphar comes to the prison, hands them over to Joseph. And do you know what is written in the Bible? Joseph served them. Washed over them. No, it's written, Joseph served them. And because he served them, and he was not serving himself, the thing is that one night, both of them had a dream. And he looks at their face and says, what's wrong? You don't see because you don't look. When your focus is inward, you only see your problems. And you go to the closet every day with your problems. God says, I will not hear you. I will not hear you. That's not how the kingdom works. That's not how the kingdom works. If you look, you will see in your office. If you look, you will see in your classroom. If you look, you will see all around. Why God doesn't answer prayers? Because God will not answer selfish prayers. So today, change the way you pray. Because the Son of Man did not come to be served. He came to serve. Imagine. Think about it. You want to bring heaven down to earth? Let the husband serve the wife. Let the wife serve the husband. Let the parents serve the children. Let the children serve the parents. You will have heaven on earth. If you don't, you'll invite hell on earth. There are only two realities in eternity. One is heaven, the other is hell. So your situation doesn't matter. Joseph could be thrown, sold as a slave. What he brought into Potiphar's house was a slice of heaven because he served Potiphar. God was with him. Was thrown into prison. He served the prisoners. He brought heaven there. He was raised up by Pharaoh. He served Pharaoh. He brought heaven down there. The question is, in the context of prayer, whom do you serve? Whom do you serve? So Matthew 6:9 is just the address. We haven't gone to the petition yet. Just the address. Our Father who art in heaven. So you have a Father. He's everything. He's the source. He's the head. He's the power. He's the glory. He's everything. But the problem is he's in heaven. And you are on earth. That is why you have to pray. So this is about how to pray. We already know why we have to pray, because God has given us to man and he's very righteous. He keeps his word. So if you don't invite him, he will not get involved in your life. If you are a righteous man, that is what will you do if you give your 18-year-old son a bike? You won't take it back. Unless he misuses it. You will tell, why are you using it like this? Why are you doing it like this, you may say. But you know you gave it. When I gave my children their own rooms, and if the door was locked, I always knocked before turning the knob, because I knew I gave it to you. It's your private area. I will not just open it and come in. No, I gave it. It's my house. I pay the rent, but it's still, I gave it to you. And if I am righteous, they will say, it's open, then I turn the knob. So God says, I gave birth to you. I'm sitting there up. I'm your father. Will you invite me to your problem? I can solve it. But will you call upon me? I know everything. I know what you need. I know what you're going through. But you have to come to me. Because I'm righteous. My word is my word. If your word is not your word, then you are unrighteous. If you don't mean what you say, you are not righteous. Are we getting it? So our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Oh. It's awesome, no? All the songs we sang today. Did you see all the songs we sang today was about his name, about his name. Your name is set apart. Set apart. Hallowed. Holy. It's your character. Told you. It's not like our names, which is usually a feeling of the parent who names a child. Or in Chinese, they drop a steel vessel, listen, and then they write the name. Ting, ting, ping. Okay, that's how they get their names. Okay. Not God. Not God. God's name is his character. God's name is his character. If you go to Exodus, chapter 3, Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I tell them? What shall I tell them? What is your name? And God said, it's a difficult question to answer. This is what you should tell them. Verse 14. God said to Moses, I am who I am. I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am. Meaning, you see, he says, how do you give a name to me? I am who I am. Basically, he's saying, I'm everything that you need. Later, God will explain it to Moses. A year or so later, they are in the wilderness. Moses prays his awesome prayer. Every time when I first teach a set of pastors, any country I go teach, I always tell them, as pastors, and we are pastors, Moses is the first shepherd in the Bible who had his congregation. He prays this prayer. You should memorize that prayer, learn that prayer, understand the principle of that prayer, which is found in Exodus 33, 13 and 14. This is a shepherd's prayer. Okay, as a father of your house, you are a shepherd of a tiny little flock, even if there is only one lamb. Okay, in 33. Can we go to verse 13 and 14? Yeah. Okay. Now, therefore, I pray. This is Moses' prayer. And if you read the entire life of Moses, he prayed only one prayer for himself. Only one prayer. Every prayer was for others. He never prayed for himself. This is his only recorded prayer for himself. I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me your way, that I may know that I have found grace in your sight and consider that this nation is your people. Simple English. These are your sheep. I have to take them from point A to point B. Would you show me your way? Which way should I take it? Because 40 years ago, I made a mistake. I wanted to take your people my way. I took the sword and I lost 40 years. Now, please show me your way how I should take them. The answer is interesting and powerful. God doesn't say, okay, listen, this is how you should take it. Take it on. This is how you should take them. From here, move there, then from there. He says, I will go with you. I'll go with you. Every day of your life, Moses, I'll be with you. I'll show you my way. My presence will be with you. You're gonna face things no man has ever faced. But because you prayed this prayer and I will be with you, I promise you one thing. You will have rest. In his presence is not just joy and pleasure. In his presence, first you receive is rest. Are you restless today? Are you restless today? This is the prayer of a shepherd. Every father sitting here in this house. You are a shepherd. You are the shepherd of your flock. This is your prayer. Lord, you gave me two children. Lord, you gave me one child. Lord, you gave me... Doesn't matter. Just one sheep. Lord, I need to take this child from this to there. I need to take my family from here to... Would you please show me your way? The power of prayer. If the prayer is in accordance to God's will, and you believe, and you have a right standing with God. Next prayer of Moses. Okay, interesting prayer of Moses. 33, verse 18 and 19. Please show me your glory now. Can you show me your glory? He said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim what? The name of the Lord. This is my name. You want to see my glory? My glory is connected to my name. Hallowed be thy name. Be careful about that name. Hallow it. Because his glory is connected to that name. What is that name? I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will be compassion on whom I will have compassion. What is this? His name. That's the glory of his name. Why are we saved? How are we saved? By grace and grace alone. Why? The glory of his name. Why did Jesus always look at the crowds and have compassion? Because it was the glory of his Father's name. Compassion. His name. No? So this is not a prayer. This is a template. God says, do you know my name? Do you know my name? Go there. Next. Then further down. Again to chapter 34, the Lord passed before him, proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful, long-suffering, gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth. What is all this? Name. Name. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
the name.
When I first came to Hyderabad, donkeys and donkeys years ago, to study at IFLO, then it was not IFLO, it was called CIFL. I had a good sister in the Lord who was Tamil Brahmin convert. So I asked her, how did you get saved? She said, I always loved Jesus. Heard about him a lot. But I always struggled with salvation because to be saved, first you have to acknowledge you are a sinner. And I haven't sinned. And I looked at her and said, really? Her name was Indu Ramanathan. She said, you haven't sinned? She said, James, I haven't sinned. I said, really? She said, you have never lied? She said, never. Never disobeyed your parents? Never. You could ask her about anything and she say, never. She said, this was my problem. He says, until I had a dream one night. In that dream, I saw me and I saw Christ. Then I realized, wretched sinner that I am. Wretched sinner that I am. Okay. There were two young girls. At that time they were young. Now they are in their 60s. Many years ago when I went to Singapore and I was standing in the queue at immigration, I saw her there and she said, James, I said, Indu, you are here. She said, I teach in the university here. But you need to realize, these two girls, Indu and Kala, got saved. Father and mother are there. Tamil Brahmins. Very righteous people. Righteous people. No, religious righteous people. And the father said, if you marry, it has to be a Tamil Brahmin. Otherwise you cannot marry a Christian. You know what the girls did? They honored their God in heaven, honored their father on earth. They refused to get married. They're still spinsters. They're in their 60s and 50s now. They took these things very seriously. Very seriously. If that's what my father on earth says, I will honor him. And that's what my father in heaven says, you cannot marry anybody other than a believer. I will honor him. I will honor him. I will stay single. Hallowed be thy name. And one day, she and her sister went for some good movie that came to Sankeet. And she was so upset the next day. He said, James, you know what happened? This movie, while we were watching, there was a blasphemy. One man in his dialogue said, Holy Spit, instead of Holy Spirit. I said, yes, and what happened? We both got up and we both walked out of the theater at that time. I said, that was a good testimony, but in the first place, why did you go? Imagine in a theater, and there are 1,000 people sitting over here, and 2 people get up and walk because they know somebody who made a movie did blaspheme his name. How strong are our convictions? Strong are our convictions. Anyway, I don't want to go in over there. That's another day's teaching. But we have to look at these things because you need to understand why it is so important to us. Why is it so important to us? And why it should be so important to us? Because how it changes our life. Look at the greats in the Bible. Samuel. 1 Samuel 12:22. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake. That's his reputation. Why is Israel still there? Israel are kosher people? No. They are into debauchery. They are into all kind of junk. But God gave them his name and he will save them for his name's sake. Paul will say, blindness has happened to Israel for a season, for the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. Once that is over, all Israel will be saved. Why? For his name's sake. Our favorite Psalm 23:3. He restores my soul and he leads me in paths of righteousness. And that is the reason behind most of the trials and the testings and the troubles we get through. Why? He says, you called upon my name and I gave you my name. Now I have to take you through this route for my name's sake. I will make a righteous person out of you whether you like it or not. Why? For my name's sake. My name's sake. 25:11. For your name's sake. Oh, it's a very powerful prayer. Lord, for your name's sake. Pardon my iniquity. Why? Because I remember what you told your servant Moses. This is my name. Gracious. Merciful. Compassionate. Would you pardon me for your name's sake? See, we need to learn how to pray. This is how these people got their prayers to answers. I'm sure at Ziklag, when Ziklag is burned down, everything is lost, everybody is picking up stones. One line is written, David encouraged himself in the Lord. These are all David's prayers. He must have, Lord, pardon my iniquity according to your name's sake. God says, get up. Done. For my name's sake, I will lift you up. The prayer is right. Your prayer is right. My name's sake. Shall I pursue? Pursue! Overtake! You will surely overtake. Recover all for my name's sake. 31:3. For you are my rock, my fortress. Therefore, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. 79:9. Help us, O God, our God of our salvation, for the glory of your name. Deliver us and provide atonement for our sins for your name's sake. Everybody is appealing because name in Hebrew is the reputation and the character of the person. For your name's sake. 106:8. Nevertheless, he saved them. Meaning, they were good for nothing. Nevertheless, he saved them. For his name's sake. That is how so many students pass exam. For the teacher's name's sake. 15 years I've been teaching in this institution. Nobody has failed. But you will fail. But I will pass you for my name's sake. Lot of things which God does in our life is for his name's sake. Hallowed be thy name. But we'll look at it another day. 1 John 1:12. 1 John, not John 1, 1 John. Okay, 1 John. Got it? Oh, 2:12. Little children, your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. Oh, you thought your sins were forgiven because you repented so deeply. He said, no. And I wept buckets of tears. And I broke the altar with my passion. God says, no, for his name's sake. All that you can do. But if he hadn't called on that name, there would have been no forgiveness for anyone. I write to you, children, because your sins have been forgiven you for his name's sake. Then you go into the world and they hate you. God says, don't worry. That will happen. Luke 21:17. You will be hated by all for my name's sake. They will say, great is your reward in heaven. There is a verse in 3 John. Most people never know it. Every time I show it to a pastor, he gets palpitations. But because their theology is not from the kingdom, their theology is from the world. 3 John. You know, John has written 3 epistles. This is 3 John. Okay. who have borne witnesses of your love before the church, if you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well. Because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. For whose name's sake? His name's sake. That is why in our webpage there is no option to send an offering. Though people from literally all around the world listen to our messages, there is no option to send an offering. If you have to send an offering, you have to write a letter. When you write a letter, I will give them certain questions. Zach Munan also follows that. If you want to send an offering, he will send you a questionnaire. Why? We have gone forth in his name. We will not take anything from Gentiles. Are you a Gentile? Are you a true child of God? That's where pastors get palpitations. Big ministries, any big ministry in the world, have you seen them mentioning this verse? That's why we make, usually you have been here, you all know by heart our announcements. We'll always say, if you are visiting us and you do not know the Lord, we love your presence, we welcome you. Please do not put your offering and don't take communion, because that's a kingdom thing. For his name's sake. There are many things you need to understand how the kingdom works. The reason is this. Gentiles are more generous than believers. No, honestly, they have a giving heart because that's how the system works. They know their gods. You cannot do anything with their god unless you give them something. That fellow won't do anything. So a Gentile in our country begins his day by bribing his god. Laddu ya coconut kuch to kuch dena padega usko. Otherwise, hilega nahi. So he, see, this is the problem. That is why corruption cannot be eradicated in India by law. It will not go. It's not possible. Because the fellow who goes to sit in the government seat has already bribed his god. So when he goes sits over there, he says, I had to bribe to get mine. Why shouldn't I take one to get mine? That's his thinking. Okay, everybody who were going around with this white dhoti and white this thing, when the electoral bond names came out, sabka pani ka pani, doodh ka doodh, ho gaya na? Everything came out last week. Now, people don't understand this. The ladies are all looking at saying, what is pastor talking about? My problem is you don't have to understand it, but you are the ones who will go and vote. Election commission said yesterday majority of the voters are women. And women don't understand politics at all. And determine our future. This is the problem. The problem is your vote is determining the destiny of nations. So you have another election coming to the world's oldest democracy called US. An election that can change everything. Depending upon who wins. So the ruling dispensation have nothing to say positive, because in 4 years he has brought so much destruction which the devil couldn't do in 400 years. So they have nothing. They have only one agenda in there to win the election. It is abortion. Abortion. So the first time in American history, the vice president visited an abortion clinic to solicit votes for the women. We are with the women. So her speech was that, I'm going to use words which you have never heard. Uterus. President talking about. They're talking about because we want the women's vote. The right to abort a baby is the agenda by which you're going to win an election. Why? Because women don't think, because they don't know politics. Yet they determine the future and destinies of their children and coming children. So it is not an option that you remain ignorant. You have to think beyond yourself. If I vote in a particular manner, which way will my future generations go? The government knows. These people all know. That's why suddenly before election, LPG will come down to 500 rupees because they know LPG matters to you. But that's not how you vote. Your kitchen doesn't, should not decide your vote. Your vote should be decided by policies. Which way is this nation going? Where are we going? That's why when I said about what happened last week, they're all looking at me blankly. Because you have never seen a newspaper for the past 15 years. The only thing you use with a newspaper is to lie in your cupboards. Others are looking at me and saying, Pastor, I don't do that also. You need to understand how serious we are. Serious. Okay. We believe in equality, we believe in equity, but you should have believe in the equality of knowledge also. See, we should live by kingdom, where the kingdom says, be innocent of evil, not ignorant. Be excellent in what is good. Have you noticed in the news, okay, I have to tell you news because you don't notice the news because you don't read the news. All the accidents that are taking place with Boeing, door coming off, parts coming off, wheel coming off, all these things happening with the Boeing aircraft in the past few years, things are happening. Do you know why? Because they implemented a policy called diversity, not merit. When if I am sick, I want to go to a doctor who passed the exam of merit and not because quota. Because I'm putting my body into his hands. When you try to bring diversity instead of merit and putting the lives of people at stake 30,000 feet above the earth, the door will fall off. Women should be given quota into this. Transgender should be caught into the binary, non-binary. This is not how you do work in the kingdom. In the kingdom, you need to be excellent. Because lives are at stake. They will never tell you the truth why these accidents are happening, because the people who are in the production and management, you brought in agendas which are contrary to excellence. Excellence. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of excellence. You should be innocent of evil. You cannot be ignorant of evil. Ignorant of evil. But innocent. Excellent in what is good. The things that are happening around in the world, lives are at stake. And don't be part of that. Don't be casual. Whatever you finally discover God has called you to do, be excellent in it. So Paul is telling Timothy, Timothy, you are called to preach the word. Be excellent in it. Know it. That when you divide it, you know the precept, the principle under which the kingdom works. Know it. Don't be a sloppy fellow. The same principle should be taken to every one of you. Whatever you do, be excellent. Study it. Read it up. Work on it. It's a continuous process. You know why? I'm thinking kingdom. I'm not thinking profit. I'm thinking kingdom. This is how the kingdom works. And God will honor you. The mindset is completely different. Like we said in yesterday's Q&A, success can be predicated very easily. Easily. You come to me tomorrow, if I have time, speak to me for 1 hour, I will ask you questions, I will tell you whether you will succeed your life or not. Can be easily predicated because everything is based on laws. There's not a single thing which God has created which functions, which does not work according to laws. Everything is based on laws because you cannot have a kingdom without laws. And accordingly God has. If the fish has to live, it has to be in water. Therefore it has been given fins. If the bird has to survive, it has to be in the air. Therefore it's been given wings. Everything is based on laws. So success is also predicated. God told Joshua, this is how success is. Meditate upon my word day and night. Meaning, chew it until you understand the principles on which my kingdom works. You understand it very clearly. Work on it, work on it, work on it, work on it. You understand. Let it not depart from your mouth. Be single-minded. When you say something, it's according to what I have said and what you believe. Do it. You will be prosperous and successful wherever you go. Predicated. Very simple. This is God's guarantee. That's how it works. So you pick any profession. Any profession. And that you believe is what God wants you to. You follow the principles, you will succeed. It cannot be taken away from you. Because all based on laws. So the simple question is, you can have as many number of jobs you have, but only one way of working. They say Joseph had 4 jobs, but he worked the same way everywhere. When he was in his father's house, the first thing, he was very responsible for his father's name. Remember? Father's name. The brothers were not. When he went to Potiphar's house and Mrs. Potiphar was trying something, he was very zealous for Potiphar's name and God's name. And when he was put with so much authority where the Pharaoh didn't even turn to look at anything, he was very zealous for Pharaoh's name. And everywhere he worked hard. 4 jobs, 1 work. Successful everywhere. Because success can be predicated. These are kingdom facts. Otherwise, I can tell you also, you will not succeed. Then you will send prayer like this, please, Father, help me not to cheat. You don't need that prayer. Because your convictions are very strong. I would rather fail than cheat. Because if I succeed by cheating, I have already failed. I have already short-circuited my future. Where will I go with that certificate? Because there is somebody inside who will be knocking. This certificate, you know how you got it. You will have to silence that voice to move with that certificate. Kingdom of God, there are no shortcuts. You need to have a right standing with Him. That's what God is talking about. So when you talk about His name, it's a huge thing. It's not a small thing. And He's giving Moses a blank certificate. A blank check. I am that I am. You go to Egypt, bring my people out, take them to the promised land. Whatever you need, according to your need, you can write my name. If you lack, I'm Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Jireh. If anybody is sick, I'm Jehovah Rapha. If you're losing your peace, I'm Jehovah Shalom. You can study the names of God. I am that who I am for you. You won't need anything more than me. I am sufficient. That is my character. That is my reputation. Watch my reputation. Watch out for my reputation because I'm giving you my name. Let me ask you this question. How many nations, countries, kingdoms have been there in this world? Hundreds and hundreds. Has any nation been tormented, tested like Israel? No, because He gave them His name. That's the reason. They are still there because of His name. They have been disciplined like no nation because of His name. For my name's sake. Yet no nation can destroy them because of His namesake. Name. What about us? Whose name did you get baptized? When you went into the water, what happened to you? You lost your identity and you rose up with another identity. That's your struggle. You didn't lose. But you lost. And every day when you wake up, Paul will say through in the letter of reckon yourself dead. I have only one name. His name. That's why the first 2 promises when you open the new covenant. If you open the new covenant, there are interesting things when you open the new covenant. It's very interesting. Very, very interesting. Like, first you go through the genealogy, you will see few women, their names are mentioned. 3 women, their names are mentioned. First woman to be mentioned is Tamar. You don't want to mention Tamar's name in your family history when somebody comes for a marriage alliance. You will hide it. God reveals it. Who is Tamar? The one who slept with the father-in-law. Why? She believed. So God put her name there. The scribe is writing. It is written. Tamar. Next is Ruth. Who is Ruth? Of that generation, of that tribe, race, that should not enter into my presence for 10 generations. He says, write it. Why? Because she left everybody to follow me. The next is Bathsheba. Her name is not mentioned, but it is inferred. And then, whole list of kings are written. Right? All list of kings are written. But if you read Matthew chapter 1, only one is called king. David. King is not as mentioned with any other name. Only King David. Why? Because that is God's template. That was my king. Not the others. Not the others. And the first promise in the new covenant, you shall call him Yeshua. The name. Why? He shall save his people from their sins. He gave us a name to call Yeshua, Jesus. Why? He will save us from all our sins. The power of that name. Who can deliver me from my sins? Jesus can. The name. Second name. This is Matthew 1:21. Second name. 1:23. You shall call him Emmanuel. God with us forever. Name. These are all names. So when you go to that line, hallowed be thy name. It's a doctrine. It's a doctrine. The name of God. The name of God. The names of God. In the old covenant. In the new covenant, he's given us a name. The name of Jesus. He has been given the name above all names. And then this promise. Whosoever shall call upon his name shall be saved. Therefore, that name from our lips should be hallowed. What a name. What a name. What a powerful name. Whosoever calls upon that name. Calls upon that name. And this kingdom doctrine is framed on that name. Because when the kingdom of God comes into your life, there is resistance. Because you were part of another kingdom. The kingdom of darkness. So Jesus said, you shall cast out demons in my name. Who is that? The foot soldiers of the other kingdom. Cast them out in my name. In my name. There's no other way. You want to cast out a demon? It's only possible one way. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth or in the name of Jesus, get out. And what do you see? Kingdom being manifested. The name of Jesus. Children, children, children. Thy kingdom come. Our Father who art in heaven, that is address. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We'll just bite on it today. Please understand this. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth. The raw material. You're going to make a sabji. You're going to make a curry. You get all the raw material to make the curry. The raw material for prayer is not need. The raw material for prayer is purpose. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the raw material for prayer. But that's not how we pray. Our raw material for prayer is need. The need should be according to purpose. It's not purpose. Purpose becomes the foundation of everything. You know, when Hagar ran away from Abraham's house because Sarah showed her other nature, she ran. She was met by probably Jesus himself, the angel of the Lord, asked a question. Where are you coming from? Where are you growing? This is the first question. That's why everybody struggles, because whatever education you receive, the problem is deep inside you know you are not from here. Okay, we had an orphanage. We raised up children, genuine orphans who were abandoned. We raised them up 10 years. They got adopted. They are growing up. But there is this question every orphan has in his mind. Why was I abandoned? So one of the ones who is in US thinks about coming to India and finding out, where am I from? Where am I from? These are fundamental questions. Where am I from? Where am I going? And in between, if I am here, what am I here for? These are fundamental questions of life. Where am I from? Even before you're formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. So I'm from there. Everyone is from God. Everyone. Believer, Jew, Gentile, everyone is from God, but everyone is not going to God. Everyone. Because if anyone is not from God, that means there is another God who creates. No, there's only one God who creates. So as a creator, he's the creator of everybody and everything. Even Lucifer, he created. So we are all from him. Even before you're formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. So that's where we are from. What happened when Adam fell and in him we fell? We became orphans. We became orphans. So you need to realize, when Jesus is saying, teach us to pray, he says the first thing God is doing in the kingdom is taking you back to the Father. Taking you back to the Father, where you came from. Otherwise you will never be complete in life. You'll never be. You need to go back to the Father. Because that's what you lost. That's where you are from. I'm taking you back to the Father. I haven't come to take you to me. I've come to take you to him. He's the source. So that's where are you from? And that is where you will go. In between, you need to ask God, what am I here for? What am I here for? Purpose. What am I here for? Look at Proverbs 19 and verse 21. In NIV, if I can have it. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is Lord's purpose that prevails. So why don't you find God's purpose? Because whatever plan you make, ultimately his purpose will prevail. And some of you are frustrated because your plans are not prevailing. You should be rejoicing because his purpose is prevailing. Purpose is more important than all your plans. All your plans. That is what it means. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, what is your power? Why am I here? The worst thing in life is not to be a failure. No. Let me see how many can remember. I said this a few weeks back. The worst thing in life is not being a failure. The worst thing in life is to be successful in the wrong purpose. Because you will never learn until you reach the end that you actually are running the wrong race. Oh, my fields have yielded plenty. I'll break down these bonds and I will build and I merge this company and I will start a new one, you fool. Your soul will be required today. The worst thing is not failure. Because when you fail, you will ask, Lord, what do I do? But when you succeed, world says nothing succeeds like success. No, honey, no, it's not true. Not true. So this is not a prayer, this is a template. It's a format. Lord, what is thy will? What is your will?
Everything we saw, even about prayer, it is connected with that. If you pray according to His will.
Isaiah 46, 10 and 11. Declaring the end from the beginning and from the ancient times things that are not yet done, say, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a bird of prey from the east, the man who executes my counsel from a far country, indeed I have spoken, I will also bring it to pass, I have purposed it, I will also do it. So, see, God is not like us. We are like this. We stand here and we plan the whole of 2024. When we reach the end, we realize nothing worked out. But we plan. Okay? And we are taking step and decision. God is the other way. He goes to the end. And then He backs backward. I've seen the end from the beginning, He says. Let me ask you this question. What is this? What is this? Okay, it is a phone you're asking me. It's faster asking a trick question. What is this? What is this phone for? So the purpose was in the product, right? Where is the purpose? In the? So when the product was made, it was made with purpose, right? So what do you think you are? Where is the purpose? In you. You think the Apple manufacturer has more brains than God? That He created you without purpose? Now, if this phone is in my hand and will be in my hand, I will use it for two or three applications. Make a call, make a text, send a mail. And after that, I am ignorant. You give this to Sammy. This becomes a wonder. Okay. If you give this to Lisa, of course, she will download another 200 apps. So, in my hands, this same thing is totally underutilized. Do you know how, that's how most human beings look? Underutilizing the purpose for which God created you and saved you. Underutilized. Why? Because you don't find purpose. Purpose. When this came, remember, when this came, this phone came, you all got your phones, it came in a, when it was new, not second hand new, it came in a box. Right? And on the top of the box, there was a book. The book we never read. Never read. Yeah? The book that we never read. Right? Never read. And then, when he took the phone, on the cover and inside on the product, there was a? There is a? Image. In whose image were you made? Do you know if Apple 16 or whatever has come in and there is a defect they understand in that product, they will recall all of it because they are concerned about the image. Do you know why God is out to save us? Because He's concerned about His image. Because in His image He made us. Hallowed be thy name. If Steve Jobs' company is so concerned about the UC Tesla calling back 500,000 vehicles because there is a problem with the airbag, why? It's their image. Everything done freely. Just bring your vehicle, drop it at the nearest place, we will repair it and give it back to you. You don't have to pay a pie. Why? Our image matters. So you don't have to do one thing. I will send my son. He will live a holy life. He will get on the cross. He will die to redeem you. You don't have to pay anything because of my image. Understand salvation. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. He's restoring us back to that image. Restoring. So we should be very concerned about Him. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, not mine. So it's not a prayer, it's not a mantra. It's a format. And every word in it matters. Every word. So this morning we should be zealous for his name. Zealous for his name. For thy name's sake. Through prayer we bring the kingdom of God down into our lives. We discover the purpose of God, the will of God in our lives. You look at Jesus, the statement that is made before he steps down from eternity into our time, there is a statement that is made. We don't know when it is made. It is revealed to the writer of the Hebrews. In the volume of the book, it is written about me. Behold, O God, I have come to do your will. Hebrews 10:7. That's why I came. That's why we were saved. Once that happens and you discover purpose and you walk in that purpose, you are good. You are good. You are good. If you listen to Friday's message on the book of Revelation, the two witnesses testified for 1260 days. That is the 3.5 months of tribulation period in the beginning. And nobody could do anything to them. If anybody tried to do anything, they could call down fire from heaven and destroy them. They were killed only after they finished their testimony. Why? Because these two witnesses, probably Enoch and Moses, or Enoch and Elijah, or Elijah and Enoch, or Elijah and Moses, we do not know, these two witnesses are doing the will of God. As I close, I'll just give you one snippet. Luke chapter 4, 28 and 30. All those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and they led him to the brow of the hill on which the city was built, that they might throw him down over the cliff. Then passing through the midst of them, he went his way. Why? You cannot kill me. You cannot kill me until my work is done. How can you kill me? I'm not doing my work. I'm doing his work. You cannot kill me. John 7:30. Therefore they sought to take him, but no one laid a hand on him because his hour had not yet come. You are talking about a dispensation that is ruled by Rome and the Jews. And he's just an itinerant preacher with nobody. And they couldn't lay a hand on him because his hour had not yet come. John 8:20. These words Jesus spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple. No one laid hands on him for his hour had not yet come. Do you know when you have purpose and you're trying to fulfill that purpose, you will not go until your hour has come. You will not. John 12 verse 23. Jesus answered saying, the hour has come. Time for the Son of God. He even looking at death has glory. Hour has come. Did you see with purpose? How it works with purpose. That's why purpose is so important. Matthew 17, 24 to 27. I love this verse because this is, when they had come to Capernaum, those who received the temple tax came to Peter and said, does your teacher not pay the temple tax? Jesus brings the kingdom over there. Immediately kingdom. Yes, and when he had come into the house, Jesus anticipated him saying, what do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth customs or taxes? He's talking kingdom language. Do kings pay taxes or do they live on taxes? From their sons or from the strangers? Peter said to him, from strangers, Jesus said to him. Then the sons are free. Then he says something. Nevertheless, lest we offend them. Go to the sea. Cast in a hook. Take the fish that comes up first. And when you have opened its mouth, you will find a piece of money. Take and give it to them for me and you. When you know purpose, provision follows. Because this is the strangest of Jesus' miracles. All the other miracles were this one. You have to pay tax. I don't have the money. He says, go there. You'll get the money. And not for you, pay for you too. I know you also have no money. You thought you were the expert in fishing. Did you see purpose and provision goes together? Purpose and protection goes together? John 8:29. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do the things that please him. Purpose and presence goes together. If you don't feel the presence of God, maybe you're doing something which you shouldn't be doing. Protection, provision, presence. And last words for today. Mark 4 and verse 41. They feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? Purpose and power go together. It's all connected to thy will be done. Otherwise, he says, how will you tire yourself? By running after these things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added or inverted. You run after all these things. In the end of your life, you wake up and realize, oh Lord, I didn't do anything. The Bible actually says, many will enter into the kingdom like that, without an inheritance. That is why the battle is not now. As soon as I finish praying, benediction is said, and you step out, the battle begins. Begins here. That is why the day of testing is not Sunday. The day of testing is Monday. Till begin, how am I going to live? Am I going to go by sight? Or am I going to go by faith? Am I going to look into the word of God, understand the kingdom, understand the principles, understand the precepts, not just memorizing scripture. It's a good thing, very good thing. Should memorize scripture. But if you memorize scripture like the Pharisees which never understood the principles, it is useless. Understand how the kingdom works, because it's a very law abiding kingdom. Understand the laws of how it works. Start practicing it. You will realize it works. Above all, when you get into the prayer closet, it's two things. It's relationship. It is purpose. Have you noticed Jesus used to go pray in the morning, come down. Then he will say something like, let us feed this crowd. Right? And then it will be written in bracket, he already knew what he was going to do. Question is, how did he know? Where did he learn this? Where did he hear this? In his prayer closet. Lazarus, whom you love, is dead. This sickness is not unto death, it is for glory. Where did you hear that? Where did you hear that? Where did you have the guts to go 4 days later after a man is dead and buried? Because you heard it in your prayer closet. Don't go. Because it's in the prayer closet. You discover the purpose of God. You meet somebody there. Meet somebody there. So if till today it hasn't happened, today, Master 17th, start. Take your first baby step into that prayer closet. Shut the door behind. Spend time with him. And say, Lord, pardon me of all my iniquity according to thy, for your name's sake. For your name's sake. What a powerful prayer. For your name's sake. Shall we stand up? Look to the Lord. Father, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for sending your Son. Thank you, Jesus, for coming. For taking us back to the Father. Command that orphan spirit to leave in Jesus' name. The kingdom, there are no orphans. There are only children who have a father, whose thoughts are always towards them, who thinks them of every moment of every day. The Father who says, the thoughts that I have towards you cannot be counted. The Father who says, I have engraved your name in the palms of my hand. Command that spirit to leave in Jesus' name. You are a deceiving and a lying spirit. You have no place in our lives. Because Jesus, you said, I will not leave you orphans. I will send somebody just like me. He will be in you and with you forever. And I pray, Father, today, not tomorrow, today, everyone here will take a stand and go into their prayer closet and lean on you, Spirit of God, as their prayer partner, as their teacher, that you would teach us how to pray. For you are there in everyone who believes, who's born of the King and the Kingdom. And you will be with us forever. I pray, Father, that today somebody listening here, anywhere in the world, will have a new journey with the Spirit of the Father. They would discover purpose. This is what I am here for. This is what my Father wants me to do, and I'm good. And I will not die before I finish my testimony. Nothing the devil can do can take my life. I can die because of sin, because the word says it's a sin that leads to death. I can die because I went into the world and left the kingdom. But if I have to finish my testimony, and that's my purpose, I will not die before my time. No sickness, no demon, no power on heaven or earth can destroy me. And what to fulfill that purpose? My Father will provide. Jesus said, you have not asked so far in my name. Ask whatever to the Father in my name. You shall receive it so that your joy may be full. The power of that name. Pray, let there be a surrender, Lord. Young ones, Lord. They got an awesome, fantastic start, Lord, which many of us never had because we never heard your word when we were young. But there are so many little ones, so Lord, today here. Let them surrender and say, Lord, here I am. Take my life. Take my life, Lord. Here I am. Take my life. Define my life, Lord. Let it be all about you, your kingdom, your purpose, your will in my life. Jesus, touch everyone, Lord, here. Touch. Those who are sick, you are our healer. Those who are oppressed, you are our deliverer. You are everything. You said, I am that I am. Everything, Lord. Everything complete in Christ. And I pray our prayer closet will be a place of discovery where we get to know our Father, each one, one on one. We get to know our Father. We get to know His purpose. That room, that place, I pray, Lord, will not be left empty. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Be with all of us. New week has begun. May your presence go with us. Because we heard, if your presence goes with us, we will have rest. In the midst of the storm, we still will have rest. Thank you, Father. We praise you, we worship you, we glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with each one of us. Amen. Amen.